I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life. I'd like to welcome today's guest, Kira Doyle. She is a hairdresser, facilitator, human design reader, and a certified yoga instructor, with a career path that's been non-linear, to say the least. While caring for others came second nature, learning to love herself has been a journey. Kira is the host of Beauty Therapy Podcast, where she shares real conversations about seeking inner love in a world of outer beauty.
Let's jump right on in.
So just to tell us a little bit about yourself, do you remember that moment when you had a call to action to follow your passion? But also, you have many passions. So you actually have to follow a passion and decide if this is it or if it leads to another passion.
I love that you said that. That's 100%, right? So yes, I think I have impulses all the time to switch it up and do something else. And for the beginning part of my life as a person who was in the working world, right? So say around like 18, 19 years old, I had a lot of shame around how many times I wanted to switch what I wanted to do. Like I went to school for writing, but in the back of my mind, I really wanted to be a hairdresser. I started doing PR, working at a hair salon. Then I got a job in PR advertising, moved to New York City. That was an impulse. And that one I didn't even do myself. It was just the universe kind of like threw me out of my comfort zone. I got dumped and I had just left my job. And so I just took the leap of like, okay, this is going to go to New York. Then that's how I met Caitlin.
Yes.
We went through yoga teacher training together. That was another impulse, a creative pull.
Yeah.
After that, it was almost like yoga teacher training showed me how accessible education was when I wanted to take something on and get certified in something new. That's actually what led me to become certified to be a hairdresser.
Oh.
And then the next, you know, 6-7 years of my life were in the beauty industry, kind of feeling my way through the dark. And the most recent impulse and shift I felt was last year when I decided I really wanted to start a podcast and I really wanted to start learning more about this little thing called human design. And that taught me everything about myself. It really made me feel like I had permission to continue to change my patterning and continue to do new things.
Human design. How are you introduced to that?
I was listening to a podcast one day, and I usually don't drive, but I had been driving and I heard about it and I had to pull the car over and like look up what my chart was right away. I just thought, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. It's not like a personality test where you take a quiz and you answer based on what you think you are. It was this very scientific, data-driven way of using your exact birth time to calculate a body graph. And within this body graph, you would find out what your energy type was, how you're meant to exchange energy with the world. And then with inside of that, all of your special talents, gifts, like openings, where your blind spots are to be susceptible to taking other people's stuff. And I think we all are so curious about ourselves.
Yes.
Do you feel like by doing that, human design, it helps take the whisper of what your passions are and bring them to light in a way that it's data driven? So you can say, oh, I am good at this. I can do that. My design is towards this idea.
Absolutely.
Like it's an affirmation in many ways.
It is such an affirmation. And on the flip side of it, it's also an affirmation of all the things that we aren't, that we've always known we aren't, and we can really tell where we've been trying to stretch to be too much like, you know, my mom is a classic generator. So what that means is she's here to work. She's meant to kind of do the same thing for a longer period of time, really excel. She has had the same job for 30 years. And she's excellent at what she does. And she was my role model. And when I was younger, I used to go to women executive leadership meetings with her and just want to be so much like her. But here I was, this little ping pong, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It also freed me of that expectation I'd put on myself that I was meant to stay at the same company for the rest of my life. You know, it really showed me, actually, this is everything you are and this is everything you're not.
Yeah, that's a huge call to action moment for anyone too, that moment when they realize they don't have to be like their parents or they don't have to do what they thought they were supposed to do. I mean, that's when all your unlimited ideas can come up to fruition, you know?
I agree. And also idea that you can ping pong around till you get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's okay. Where it is true, like growing up, it would be shameful if you decided that you didn't, you know, you tried something and you're like, well, I don't really want to do that. And everyone would be, you know, mm-hmm. that moment. And you're like, oh gosh, but yet you're not happy. So what's the ultimate goal?
Yeah, right. And I think especially, and I don't know if either of you can relate to this, but being a woman living in New York City, there's just spotlight on you every time you come home for that family holiday.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what are you doing? Have you found a partner? Like, are you paying your rent? Like, what's your work? Like, why are you still trying for this thing? And so when I found something with the company that I've been working on for 5 years, it was really stable. It was a really well-known big beauty brand. And there was a lot of relief, a lot of sense of relief from everybody around me. Like, oh, good. Like, it's fine. She has health insurance, the 401k, like entering the matrix.
Right.
Right. And so that has had so much weight on me. And I'm still peeling back the layers of what it means to not be a part of that, even though I'm still a part of it. Just what it would mean to leave and how I would have to rebuild myself of identity, which I'm working on now, you know?
Yeah. And I love that. That reminds me, I heard a podcast recently and they said there's two reasons anything's in your life. One is because you want it there, and one's because you're scared to let it go.
Mm.
And there is a lot of stability there, and I know exactly what you're talking about as an actor. When I go home, they're like, what are you working on now? And most of the time, I'm not working on anything. I'm auditioning, which means I don't even get paid to do this work. So no one likes that. No one's very accepting of that up and down sort of lifestyle, I feel.
Yeah.
Not no one, but I know exactly what you mean with that pressure.
Yeah, because the word New York attached to a human being is so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely means like, what are you accomplishing out there? Mm-hmm. I get that feeling a lot.
It's a tough place, but where's your light?
Yes, yes. And I do wonder for a lot of people, if you being there is bringing up a little of their shadow, because it's something that they wrote off as something I could never do, right? Yeah. And by you doing it, you're kind of exemplifying and modeling something that actually is possible for them, and then it might bring up the lack of what they never explored, whether it was New York or something different, moved to California or started a different business. So yeah, I've struggled with that a lot, but human design has helped me so much. Just be mindful of where I'm taking in other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And 75% of the world has an open head, which means 75% of us are taking in other people's thoughts, opinions, perspectives, and operating out of that should mentality. I should do this or I should do that. And so my like magic trick for that is we have to stop saying the word should. We're shoulding all over ourselves.
Yeah.
And we need to start saying I want.
Yeah.
I want to do this and I want to do that. And if you make an I want statement and it's not true, don't do it. I mean, if you can legally avoid it, right? Like, there's not any like very bad repercussions, but don't do the things that you don't want to do. But when we say, I should, it's like our bodies, which are here to guide us, shut down.
I feel that.
Because it can't respond to a should.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I want to start asking myself what I want. Yeah. It's so funny you said that, because this week I started being like, I need to go do this for Christmas. I need to see this person. I need to do all these things. And then I was like, but what do I want to do for Christmas? What do I want to do for Thanksgiving? It freed me up. I was like, whoa, I could go to India if I wanted. I have a whole month off.
Right.
And I actually do want to see my family, for anyone that's listening. But, but you know, it's a long checklist that is hard to sort through. But that's a really free question. I really want to ask that every day.
And I know you're a manifester.
Yes.
So that's a really good question for you to ask, because manifestors can be more broad. What do I want, right? Whereas a generator, manifesting generator, for us, it's better to narrow it down. So it's like, do I want this?
Oh.
So do I want this? And then we respond. Does that make sense?
So I can just open up the floodgates.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready for that.
When you talk about wanting, so can you tell us a little bit what a great day looks like? What do you want for a great day?
So I think I'm having one right now. apart from the fact that I am sandwiched in between a lot of like stress, anxiety, and pressure. A perfect day for me, it would entail with somewhere within the day. I'm really into the morning pages from The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. It's one of the best ways I dump my brain out. When I get to connect, like first thing in the morning, write 3 pages worth of writing. It just sets me up to not be spewing things here and there that like aren't connected, don't align with me. So writing, physical movement, whether it be through yoga or Pilates or just going for a really long walk or run, that's really, really good for me. And I'm really owning that now, where before I thought I'm just being high maintenance. It's really important for me to like move my body in a physical way and then be creative and have good conversations and hang out with awesome people. Yeah. And whatever form of that creativity it is. It could be reading a human design chart. It could be doing hair. It could be hosting a workshop or attending a workshop. But that's, and coffee. I love coffee. I will never give theme. It up.
Yes, that's a real theme on our podcast.
Is it?
Everyone says coffee.
Yeah.
Speaking of coffee, what is any current indulgence that you might have right now?
Current indulgence. Favorite. That I'm indulging in. Well, okay. So I just got this Starbucks vanilla coffee that I've been making at home. And I have coconut whipped cream from Trader Joe's. Mm. And instead of milk, I put this coconut whipped cream on top with cinnamon. And I make sounds. I'm like, like in my living room. My fiance's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I should do a commercial. But yeah. Everything I love, people often tell me, like, you should endorse this. Because I get so behind it. I'm just like, the things I love. But that coconut whipped cream. I wish I had a promo code. You guys are gonna, it is so good. And now that we're in like the fall winter season and it's all about that hot coffee, nothing is like that.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
We're going to Trader Joe's after this. Do you have separate techniques that you use to get through a tough day? Or do you know what kind of blocks are created that start you off on having a tough moment?
100%. And I'm so much more self-aware now than I was in the past. But I'm the kind of person that tends to be, I'm highly empathetic and I take in so much stuff. And I think living in just New York is challenging with how much we pick up just being here, right? Just walking down the street, just living our life, getting our cup of coffee. But I tend to avoid confrontation and truth. Because I am afraid to hurt other people. I'm afraid of standing in the emotional repercussions of letting someone down. It hurts me so much in advance to even think about confronting someone or standing up for myself. And so I struggle a lot with holding all these emotions in.
Do you ever flip that around?
In which way?
Well, the idea of letting someone down versus redirecting.
Mm.
So it's not that you're hurting someone, it's that you're helping them find their truth.
It's a great way to look at it. Yeah. I think sometimes when we can't show up, we allow the right people to come into our place. And so the past, 10 years of my life has been, if I can't do it, no one can do it. Like, how selfish is that, to think that like it's me or no one.
Right.
And so I've had to, with the way my life is going and trying to step more into my alignment every single day, I've had to turn things down. And the beautiful thing about it is I watch as nothing happens. Like, no one cares, or when I confront someone about something, they're like, all right, it's fine. And so what I try to do now is just go, rather than sit with it and let it eat me up, I try to go, all right, I just know I'm going to feel better when I go say this thing and just go say my piece. And not emotionally, just this is what it is. And this is the boundary I built. And when that doesn't go so well, or say it's not the right time and I know I'm not unable to confront what I'm feeling emotionally, I take pink Himalayan sea salt in the shower with me and I just scrub my body down. And it's like I just had the most refreshing swim in the ocean. The minute it hits my skin, I don't know what it is, but it's just like I can just breathe again. And that's how I know if the salt helps, that's how I know I'm feeling and experiencing something right now that's not mine.
Oh.
If it's mine, I'm going to still feel it. But if I've just picked it up and it's anxiety or sadness or anger and it releases when I either salt or I sage sometimes, then I realize, okay, this isn't my energy I'm working with. I'm picking up other people's stuff.
I have a little activity when I start to feel all kinds of emotions or anxiety or anger. When you're walking down the street sometimes, and I always ask myself if it's mine or not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I ask, if it's not mine, it disappears because it isn't mine. Because we're talking about being open and taking in a lot of things. And if it is mine, I ask myself if it's my ego or if it's me. Because a lot of times our ego is holding us hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And it likes to be in control. And you have to remind it that it's not. It's not the master.
Yeah.
So I say, am I my ego or is my ego me? And the minute I do that, it's like calling out to my ego to get back in the box. And that other layer of emotion disappears.
A technique
it's huge. That I use.
Ellen is
the
first person. When I moved here in 2011. I met her, you know, maybe a year after that. But I was really affected by New York City. I am very much an energy. I mean, I take on energy. I feel it all the time. I'd come here after a train ride and be like in tears. And I was thinking it was mine. Mm-hmm. And she's the first person that said, "This isn't even yours. What's going on?" Like, you know, she did some kind of spell. And I was like, "Okay, you're right. It's not mine." But that's how I started asking the question. And I'm so glad you brought this up. Because anyone that's listening, I think it's important to, yes, we always say, like, what do you want? Do what you want. Do more of what you love. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to decipher for what you want. There's so many different layers to that. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to this question. You know, you and I met at yoga teacher training. There's lots of techniques there, but do you have any techniques that really help you stay grounded and sort through all this?
Morning pages.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, releasing. I find that the first two pages I write are generally everybody else's stuff.
Okay.
And that's why I love to push through to that third page. Like, if you can only do one in the morning, do one. If you can do two, fantastic. But if you can get to that third, I swear that's when the veil lifts and it's like you're hearing from your soul.
I know what morning pages are.
Right, yeah. I was gonna say.
But I want to make sure that if anyone's listening.
So there's this fantastic book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. It's a 12-week program. It's been around for 25 years.
Actually, I bought the book and I haven't done it, but I do have
amazing.
It.
It's amazing. She's celebrating her 25th anniversary edition right now. But the book is awesome. It's a program you can do. But if and it's about connecting to your inner artist, and there's a lot of like connecting with inner child. It's awesome if you're looking to really unleash your creativity, figure out what you want to do. Actually, just suggest the whole book. It's so fantastic. It's a lot of self-discipline to get through the work. But if you take nothing away from this other than one activity she has you do every morning. It's called the morning pages. And it's kind of just free form writing, no expectation. Even if you're going to write, "I don't know why I'm doing this 900 times for 3 pages in the morning.
Yeah.
And first thing in the morning, if you can try to do it before we have a conversation, definitely don't look at social media and just allow your brain to release. And also there's a lot of inspiration that comes in the morning too. So the idea is to dump it out, you know, pull down whatever inspirations it is that you're feeling, and then just put it away. And you shouldn't read them for a couple of months, like 3 to 4 months. And then you can go back. And some of the things that have come up in morning pages, I mean, from 5 years ago, are like great ideas that I would implement now. It's really, really interesting. But they are such a great way to just get rid of all the noise and the nonsense that's going on around you.
Yeah, I love that technique so much. I do it too. My journals are so sloppy because it's so freeing. You can write whatever you want.
Yeah.
There's no rule. So.
Yeah, I went to listen to Katie DiCamillo talk at the 92nd Street Y. She's written a bunch of children's books. And she said, every morning before your ego wakes up, sit down and write. Mm-hmm. You know, and I keep hearing that. Get up, just write first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's not as hard as meditating. For some reason, I'm not as blocked. Like, I love meditating, but I definitely have less resistance. I can just write. It's easy.
I think this is a really good activity to do before meditation.
Yeah,
because then when you go to meditate, you're like, I'm clear, right? Because when I sit down, I'm a horrible meditator first thing in the morning because that's when I'm so worried about everything I have to do. I write to-do lists in my morning pages.
Right.
I just get it out the way. I don't go back and read it. I just, like, write everything I have to. It makes me feel better. And yeah. It's half of my first page sometimes. And then but it's like, okay, that's done.
Yeah, it definitely gets out some, it definitely expedites the peaceful part of the meditation process. You know,
for
me, when I talk about meditating, it's the same way you talked about the pages. If I'm doing 20 minutes, like the first 10 to 12 minutes is me just thinking everyone else's thoughts or my past stories or whatever. Mm. It's very hard to even get to that peaceful moment. But that might help. That'd be good. What if I did a little mini version of pages and then a little mini meditation? You never know. What I love about this is everyone's tools can be different, but it is important to find some way to reground yourself so that you can figure out what you really want, right? Mm-hmm. To be in alignment with yourself. You keep saying that, but how do we get into alignment? Everyone's way is different, but try something.
Yeah.
Consistency is key.
Yeah, I think
so. The other one that's great if you're not much of a writer, and I do really well with like moving meditation.
Uh-huh.
And yoga is fantastic, but sometimes I just love to do like a walk with no agenda, just a really long walk.
Yeah.
And ask the question and just go for the walk, and over the way see how the answer comes to you. That's a really good way for me to just empty out some physical energy so I can get clear up here too.
Yeah. And one thing I've been trying to do while I'm walking, even, you know, my commute, I have to do every single day. Mm-hmm. It's a subway ride. And I was thinking, I dread this thing, this part of my everyday. So how can I make something that I have to do every day enjoyable? That's where I started getting into podcasts. Mm-hmm. That was a way to sort of not be on media in a way that I wasn't looking at my phone. At least I started the process by just listening. But like, now I'll just try to see something. Like, what is someone wearing near me? Is anyone else looking up on the train? What does the weather look like? I've been trying to look up at the sky every day and just remember that there is nature in New York City. Like, you can still be connected. So just trying to find a way to be here now,
mm-hmm.
rather than all the things I have to do or all the past stories I have, is good. And there's lots of ways to do that.
I look forward to the commune. I like to go and walk and look and observe and see and listen and connect with random people for even a split second. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, it really can be. Yeah.
This morning there was a man like holding the bar and you're doing the dance around trying to jiggle yourself in the right places, and I scooped under him and I giggled because I was like, who does that? And I looked at him and he just looks at me and he's like, yeah, I like that. I was like, yeah, there was an opportunity. I had to do it. You've had a moment. It lasted 10-20 seconds.
Yeah.
You made somebody smile and you also got out of the way for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a shift in how we choose what energy we choose to bring into the world.
Yeah.
You know,
when it's crowded, I'm always giggling. I just can't help myself.
No, I do agree. It is very funny.
All staring at each other, holding a pole.
I gotta try that because I like clench. I'm like, I try to contort my body so no one's touching me, which is impossible.
Yeah, that's impossible.
But maybe I should just try to laugh.
Yeah, or wiggle a little. Like, ha, how's it going?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. We're all crammed in this little space trying to get from one place to another.
And also, everyone is like trying not to connect. You know that feeling? So I'm like actively like, hi, how's it going? maybe my husband's on that train. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna see him if I don't look up.
Hey, I met my fiance on a train.
You did?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And my ex-boyfriend on an airplane.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How'd you meet? On a subway train or
we
what?
Met on a Amtrak.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Nice.
On a very crowded train.
Okay.
See, there you go.
There we go. I had a bottle of vodka in my bag I was bringing home for Thanksgiving, like morning, like Bloody Mary's. And I was like, you want some of this?
That's
literally, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is so funny.
I know.
And that was it.
Hey, I know how to reel them in. I was like, I got no mixers, and this is warm. And he said, yes. Here's my hand. Would you like to put a ring on it? You're the one.
Oh my gosh, I love that story so much. Okay, so I'm shifting gears a little bit. So we did a yoga teacher training together. But I read in your bio that it says you were a former yoga teacher.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, you don't want to teach yoga anymore or...
It's such a part of me, and I think I teach it to myself, but yeah. I haven't been in a studio to teach yoga in a really long time.
Yeah.
Probably 5 years.
Okay.
I've definitely facilitated small classes for family, friends, like weddings. I'll do like a morning yoga class, but right now my schedule is so busy that I need the yoga, and I haven't moved into a place where I feel like I'm getting enough of it that I'm ready to give it right now.
No, I get that.
You know?
I definitely relate to that. And as a yoga teacher, I really make it a priority to... I mean, my practice is why I started.
Right.
So it's good to not forget that.
Yeah.
So I definitely hear that.
I just want it. I just want to be taught.
Yeah. There's a part of me that needs to teach it as well. That's just who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, for that 1 or 2 hours, the things that come out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, my gosh, let's remember those things.
Yeah.
That's her morning pages.
It's my morning pages is teaching. I love it. But I definitely have to prioritize my practice. So I get that. So we are big quote people here on the Curvy Pod.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite quotes or phrases or motivational thoughts that you say over and over?
I came up with this one the other day. This was just a little mantra of something I needed, but I think... I'm sure, you know, working in the industry of like teaching other people yoga and giving our love away, I really needed space to, you know, allow my own love in. And I've been working so hard, but I said this little mantra to myself and it just really resonated. So maybe this will work for you. But I said, I forgive myself. I accept my own love. And I kind of just had my hands like on my heart and I said, I accept my own love. And it just was like, it just felt so nice to think that what we're giving and to say, like, I'm taking a minute and I'm really going to try to channel that energy inward. It was like my body just felt so seen and understood by me. And I think that I strive my whole life is like trying to not avoid myself, not abandon myself, and at the same time be passionate and help other people. But how do I also heal through the process of helping others? So,
yeah.
To think about what you would tell your younger self, having done all the things that you've accomplished and gone through and experienced, what would you say to yourself?
I wouldn't want to have done anything differently, but I wish I could have just relaxed and release some of the shame and guilt around my choices. And that's a really interesting question, because I've been thinking about what maybe my 10-year older version of me would say to me right now. And I think she would say the same thing. So I'm trying to do that.
Uh-huh.
Because I was thinking, God, if I walk sometimes the streets of New York where I used to work, you know, at miserable jobs. Like I worked as a server, so many restaurants here that have already changed over in ownership. But sometimes I'll find myself walking down the path and I'll look up and I'll go, oh my God, I used to serve here. And what the things I was dealing with emotionally. Yeah, it was tough. I was, you know, struggling to make money. I was struggling to pay my rent and find my purpose. And I was heartbroken and all of these things. But ultimately, I was in my mid-20s. Like, it was totally fine, right? And I would be so, like, stressed out at that time about, like, what am I doing? It just felt like my whole life was a mess. And I was right where I needed to be. So when I get really stressed now, I also try to think about that. Like, that worked out. And this was going to work out, too.
Yeah, right. I'd like to have a no-fuss policy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I hear that. I hear a lot of people say, like, they would tell themselves, like, just relax. But what does that even mean? Like, how do we apply that? Just not be so hard on ourselves? Or what do you mean? I'm asking because I also tell myself that. And I'm wondering how I can really apply it.
I think it was more the thoughts I was telling myself about the story I was creating about my experience and the fears I had around the future. Because when I think about it, the right now was okay.
Mm-hmm.
What created my most anxiety and sadness and depression and all of it was a fear that things weren't going to turn out okay. And they turned out great.
So it's a little bit of like, trust the process.
Trust the process and enjoy where you are. Enjoy that, because there are times when I look back very reminiscently at that girl who walked around in her little, remember the little Tom shoes?
Yeah.
But I used to walk around New York City in like the Toms with a little yoga mat on my back with like just enough money for rent. So I couldn't buy even a cup of tea and just observe and be in the city. But I had, you know, music. We had free yoga. We had a community. And I felt so free and like anything was possible. Mm-hmm. And there are times now when I just catch myself just craving that feeling of, I don't know what's next, but I know something great is coming. And now that there's a lot here and it's so jam-packed and pretty much every moment of my life is accounted for, I miss that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that when I had that, I wasn't going, oh my God, I'm a total failure. You know, like that little voice inside. And so I wouldn't have changed a single thing. I wish I would have trusted the process more.
Yeah. And I just made me think of this podcast I heard. Kyle Cease was on it. If you're able to listen to any of his stuff, he's so inspirational. But he said, anytime that we're going through something, like let's say you woke up hungover, you just say to yourself, I'm hungover and I love it. What you just got broken up with, I am heartbroken and I love it. I have anxiety and I love it. And honestly, it's fun. You know, like there's days like that where it's funny. You're on a crowded train. This is part of life and I love it. Just kind of a cool technique to try. It makes things lighter and it doesn't mean that it's pushing anything down. I think it just means you're fully accepting whatever's happening as the human experience. Like nothing is necessarily good or bad. It's just all a part of being human.
Is there a whisper coming down the pike for you to try something new?
Just a whisper of expansion in the human design space. And yes, there's many new things I want to do inside of the space. And of course, I've been reading, you know, charts for about a year and a half. And now I'm like, I want to mix it up. And so there's some other modalities I want to bring into it. It's not even a whisper. It is a scream. Like every day that I don't do it, I just feel like, oh, another day went by. And I have all of this stuff that I want to do. So it's just no question what I would do with my time if I wasn't like working full time. But
yeah, so we got to get you out of that job ASAP, right? Because I need my charts read. Like I need all my friends' charts
read.
Yes,
we do. We do. And the job that I have, I love. Right. I love so much. But there's a scream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious to see how things play out.
And now can people just email you or you have a website?
I have a website with a booking link if people would like to book a chart. And I have some free resources on my podcast just about what human design is and a little bit of information about the different types and one all about our open centers.
Can you tell us the name of your podcast again?
My podcast is called Beauty Therapy. Yeah, so it's beauty professionals or anyone who's in a space of service for their living. And a kind of slogan is, we need what we give. So this is your
Ooh, I love that.
Weekly dose of therapy. You're the one that's giving it all away. And it's translating very beautifully for me from being working behind the chair and doing hair to the space I give and hold when I do a human design reading. And yoga is the same thing as well.
Yeah.
So we need the yoga when we
definitely
give it away.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading the We Need What We Give. I think that's a good one.
That's a really good
one. That makes what you do, it gives it a little different perspective.
Yeah. We need what we give.
We need what we give.
I needed this today.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the Curvy Pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Curvy Pod. Let's continue living above the curve.